This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yes, that line forms on the right, babe.
I'm not into it.
Not that Mac.
I'm not into it.
Back in time.
I did it because I owe you.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir. 202 on the fan. McMonagle here with you for the next 3 hours as we got you until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We got Fleegs on the other side. Big Zoo hanging out with the late-night Nick game. 888-808-1019. And what a freaking disaster that was. And, I mean, I know this is personal and you don't want to hear my complaints. I get to talk on the radio. I get it. But I'm in the car because I have to drive here listening to the Knicks blow a 13-point lead in the second half, giving up three-pointer after three-pointer down the stretch of the game. Jalen Brunson yet again playing Superman, getting to the foul line at every basket, three-point plays, giving the refs a thumbs-up sarcastically every time he thinks he's fouled. Early on in the game, OG Anunoby offensively and what he's been over the last handful of games coming back from the injury. And then I watch it fall down the stretch. I'm listening to it in the cars. It's falling apart. I'm listening to the open threes that Austin Reeves is hitting in the fourth quarter. I'm listening to Luka Doncic hit high-arcing three-pointers in Karl-Anthony Towns' face in overtime. And then I'm forced to listen to what I've now seen Jalen Brunson hobbled after getting fouled, going to the basket, and now having seen the replay, and obviously brutal twisted ankle where his foot goes completely in the other direction. We're getting word from, I think, multiple sources, but Chris Haynes definitely had it, where the Knicks are optimistic that it might just be a sprained ankle and nothing more severe. But you know how tough this guy is. You know how tough Jalen Brunson is. And to watch him take forever to get up, watch him walk around and clearly be unable to continue to shoot the foul shots, never moving, never leaping, never getting off his feet, never doing anything other than just standing there, waiting for the foul after he hits the two foul shots, and then walking off the court right into the tunnel, and your heart sinks. And at 107-107, when he leaves the game with just over a minute left, it almost doesn't even matter if you win the game or lose the game. It almost doesn't even matter. And you knew they were going to end up losing the game because they have no offense outside of him. Again, I'm not going to harp on this tonight, but Mikal Bridges. I mean, 6 points and 0 free throws. I mean, everybody on the team is taking free throws. Jalen Brunson, 12 of 13, single-handedly carrying them in the fourth quarter where they get shut down offensively. And the same thing happened the other night against Golden State. No shots falling in the fourth quarter. 15 points in the fourth quarter. They have a 13-point lead in this game, and you watch it just fade away as they're outscored 23-15 in the fourth quarter. I mean, and so many different points in this game that are just frustrating that make it one of the worst losses. And if the news is bad on Brunson, without question, the worst loss of the year. But you've got, in so many different ways, Tibbs bothered me in this game. That is an atrocious, as I was just leaving my house in the third quarter, an atrocious foul challenge on McBride trying to steal a ball away running down the court. He's clearly got his hand on his hips and practically spins him, and we're challenging that way. We don't have a challenge the rest of the game. And again, I was on radio as I'm driving in, but multiple ball going out of bounds, multiple plays where maybe a challenge could benefit the New York Knicks, and it's gone because they challenge on that play. Or how about the end of the game? And as much as I love Josh Hart, in the end of regulation, the Knicks with 8 seconds left and an opportunity to not have to go to overtime, tie game with 9 seconds left. How about Tibbs coming up with a plan knowing they're going to double-team Brunson, who's been unbelievable for this team down the stretch, a Knicks team that now has lost their first overtime game, a Knicks team that has been so great in these clutch moments, so good. I think they've won 9 in a row up until this point in games that are a one-possession game with 5 minutes left in the game. This is where Jalen Brunson shines, and he was doing it again. And at the end of regulation, no real plan, knowing that he's going to get double-teamed, or Hart not recognizing that you don't have all day to get to the basket. They don't even get a shot off. And then what happens in overtime where, you know, they can't hit a shot. OG misses 2 threes short. You watch Luka, who we actually talked about yesterday, as good as Jalen Brunson's been in these late moments, the best clutch player in the NBA. Who would you pick for your final shot? It's ironic we had this conversation. And I talked about Luka, and he hits the big fadeaway to get the scoring started in overtime. Then he hits the big three to give them a 5-point lead, and the Knicks are never really able to recover. I know they end up tying the game, but then when Brunson leaves the floor, I mean, this is, now they've got a stretch here, right, on the West Coast, where they're playing the Clippers tonight. You forget that. He's not playing. Doesn't mean the Knicks can't win. They're going to have to rally, and we're going to have to rely on Karl Anthony Towns. You're going to have to rely on OG Anunoby. You're going to have to rely on Mikal Bridges to pick up some of the scoring here. You've got the Kings on Monday, Portland on Wednesday, Golden State Saturday, and then back home from Miami on Monday. Now, even if it's a high ankle, I mean, I don't know how long he's going to miss. God forbid it's anything worse than just a high ankle sprain or an ankle sprain in general. It was a bad injury. I didn't get to see it. I'm listening to it in the car, and I'm just, you know, I'm pounding the steering wheel, listening to them talk about it. I can't get up. He's hobbled around. He takes 2 steps and stops walking and goes to his knees. I watched the replay. He can barely lift his feet as he's taking those 2-3 free throws, but of course he hits them like a stud that he is. But that is just a brutal loss. Now, look. Are the Lakers good? Hell yeah, the Lakers are good. I mean, how many times did they say it on the broadcast? I can't believe he's a Laker. Like Luka and the way LeBron is playing right now, each of them have over 25 points. Brunson is the leading scorer with 39. He was just brilliant in this game. LeBron gets 31. Luka gets 32. I mean, the Lakers now have won, what, 9 in a row or 8 in a row? They're the 2 seed in the West. They've been absolutely scorching hot. You go into L.A., with where the Knicks are, we know that they're going to be good enough. Well, hopefully, as long as Brunson's not gone for the year, that they're going to be the three seed in the East, right? It's not like they're going to lose out in the playoffs. It's not even like they're going to lose their place in the standings. Like, is it a devastating loss to go into LA and lose to the Lakers? Considering how they played against Golden State, considering they had a 13-point lead, considering they're giving up wide open looks in the fourth quarter and overtime, it's a tough loss. But what makes it worse is we don't know right now where their absolute savior is going to be over the next few games and the next few weeks. And if it's worse than that, this Knicks season's over. Like, that's where it is. Like, we could scream all day about, you know, any other injury, right? We're going to talk about it in baseball, clearly. Obviously, Giancarlo Stanton, it's not even in the same hemisphere of what Jalen Brunson means to this Knicks team. So, I mean, considering everything that went into this game, if you're a Knicks fan, right now we are just holding our breath. Forget the loss. Forget the wide-open fourth-quarter looks that they're giving to Reeves in the corner. Forget the idea they blew a 13-point lead. Forget the idea that Hart can't realize he's got to put the ball up. And actually, can you get off and that's on coaching, too. Like, I'm so frustrated with that terrible challenge. I'm so frustrated they can't get a shot off with 8 seconds left in the game to at least attempt to see if they don't have to go to overtime. You got to get a shot off at the end of the game. It's inexcusable. I mean, but what Brunson, now he's 1-for-7 from the 3-point line. But, I mean, 39 points, he's getting to the basket. 12 of 13, he had multiple 3-point plays. You know, he's frustrated with the way he's being handled by the referees, and I agree. I mean, like, there are times he's getting hit, but this is the first time it really felt like it boiled over for him, where he's being sarcastic with the refs. He's giving them thumbs up every time he puts a shot up and doesn't get fouled or hits a shot and he thinks he was fouled. Like, he was really into this game. This was a big game for the Knicks, coming off a lackluster loss against Golden State, trying to prove that they're good enough to beat a top-quality team. And right now, maybe they're not OKC. Boston, Cleveland are clearly in the East and more important teams to be better against and play better against. But this was a test for the New York Knicks against a really hot Lakers team. And they came in, got off to a slow start, and then turned it on and built up a 13-point lead. And we saw really positive things. You saw OG Anunoby playing like he did at the beginning of the year and in January of last year, where offensively he was good. I mean, OG scores 20 points in this game, hits 4 threes early on, creating a little bit offensively, playing better defensively, looking a little bit faster, looking like there's a pep in his step after being really looking tired for about a month, even before the injury. So to watch him come out and play well, watch Brunson do what he's doing, good to have Karl Anthony Towns back. And they're building a 13-point lead against the Lakers team that has won 8 in a row on the road in Los Angeles. It was all lining up to be one of the better wins of the year. And maybe a statement for this Knicks team to say, hey, look, okay, I know it's not the top three. We can't change that 0-7 record. But this is a damn good team playing as well as anyone in basketball right now. And we just went into their house and took care of business. And instead, we watch a 13-point lead fade away. You watch 15 points in the fourth quarter where they've gone ice cold now twice to end games. They go into overtime. They're giving up wide open looks defensively. And to top it off, the best player on the team, the heart and soul of the team, the one guy they can't afford to lose, hobbles off the court with a severely sprained ankle. And that replay looks devastating. I mean, his ankle goes completely sideways. And I mean, right now, it's just, we're waiting on news. Of course, you know, Tibbs, I didn't speak to him. He was with the training staff. Okay. You don't have an idea of what's going on. Reports are that hopefully it's just an ankle sprain, that it's not anything more severe than that. But even that, that's a couple weeks. I mean, I doubt you're going to see him again on this West Coast run. I'd sign right now for Monday against Miami. I mean, he's gone a week. You think you count your stars. It might be more than that. But ultimately, this is just a frustrating night all around. Because when it came to make smart plays, the coach, as he's staring down the review team or whatever, the challenge guys, the monitor guys, he's just staring them down angrily till they give him what he wants, the challenge, a terrible challenge, and they don't have one the rest of the game, which was critical. Again, I'm listening to it in the car. They're talking about it a couple different times where this could have been a spot for a replay. I haven't seen all the replays. I don't know. There was one where it was off Karl Anthony Towns out of bounds where it was questionable. A couple different spots, maybe. Again, I'm speaking as someone who wasn't able to see the end of the fourth quarter. But I hate that challenge. I hate not being able to get the ball off, get a shot off with 8 seconds left. And obviously, you hate to see Brunson leave the game. And an opportunity to make a statement turns into one of the more miserable nights for a Knicks fan. 888-808-1019. Let's get right to the calls here and talk to the Knicks fan right here in the open. Let's go to Kevin in Florida. What's up, Kev?
Big Mac, what's up, man?
What's up, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm with you. You know, the whole Knicks can't beat, you know, the good teams. I thought tonight, you know, you could have erased a lot of those haters. You know, you go on the road, you face the best team in the West. You know, I know everyone likes to talk about OKC, but this LeBron and Luka team, Lakers, is scarier than we think. And then...
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, they're very good.
Yeah, and then, do you remember that show that Shaq used to do, like that segment called Shaq and the Fool?
Not off the top of my head, no.
So what it basically was he would take place from around the NBA that were stupid and terrible and would make fun of them.
Right.
And what Josh Hart did there at the end of the game would have been number one on his list.
Oh,
I mean, how the hell in that kind of situation? That's basketball 101. You got to at least give yourself a chance to win the game.
You got to recognize the time on the clock. You've got to understand when you're getting the ball. You've got to understand there's got to be – can we have a better like understanding that Brunson's going to get double-teamed? And listen, I understand he's fought through double teams before. But if he's going to get double-teamed, someone's going to get an open look to end the game. And from that place on the floor, like you have to figure out a way to get a better thing than a scrambled pass – to Hart and you know, drive to the basket when you have 2 seconds left when he gets the ball.
Well,
just the hideous end of the game.
I mean, it's not even like, you know, it was in his hand. He was still dribbling the ball.
No,
the
I know.
Off.
Like, yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
Terrible.
But
he's
got
to get that shot off.
Though, but Big fan. That was just my 2 cents.
No, I got it. And the Brunson, I mean, look, right now, if it's just an ankle sprain, you sign for it. Whatever, I mean, as long as he's going to be back. But it's going to include guys stepping up. And I keep saying this, and maybe I'm harping on it, and maybe I'm wrong on his kind of the style of his game. But how many nights do I got to look and see Mikal Bridges not to the – every other starter on the floor, every other starter has foul shots. Mikal Bridges never goes to the basket. Mikal Bridges never fights through a screen. Mikal Bridges, as he's watching – his teammates, and even though I'm pissed off at Hart for the minute, he played terrible against Golden State, and he had a brutal final possession of the regulation. But you know his toughness and his ability to get to the rim and his willingness to fight. Even Karl Anthony Towns at times this year has shown the ability to fight through and push and get to the basket and be physical. There is zero physicality out of Mikal Bridges. Zero. I cannot look at another stat line and see zero foul shot attempts from this guy. And if Brunson's out, that's where I'm turning my attention, right? We know how important OG is going to be. Karl Anthony Towns is the other superstar of this team that they went out and got in the offseason. They also traded 5 picks for Mikal Bridges. If Brunson's out, someone's got to step up in the scoring. And as much as I like OG's game the last couple of nights offensively, and especially in the first half of this game, he can't be counted on to give you more than 20. He scored 20 last night, 4 of 11 from three-point land, 7 of 18 from the floor. He played 44 minutes. He got to the line 3 times, you know, and he played excellent defense in this game. That's about as much as you're going to get from OG Anunoby. That's it. I can't ask more than 20 points from OG Anunoby. Now, Karl Anthony Towns only has 12, and we know the offense is going to have to roll through him. So, yes, you're going to lean heavily on Karl Anthony Towns without Brunson. But this is an opportunity for Mikal Bridges to step up, be confident, and attempt to take over. And I don't know if it's because he's playing with two of his former teammates who are older than him. They bust his balls a little bit. He's coming over here and acquiesced some of his game to be part of the Knicks culture and team, and that's fine. It may be struggling with it. I don't know. But I think you're going to learn a lot about Mikal Bridges and the toughness of Mikal Bridges as they go through a West Coast run without their leader, without their guy, without their glue, without the man who makes it all work, and he's going to have to step up. And maybe this is a blessing in disguise as long as it's just an ankle sprain, and maybe we'll see some of the different guys on this team step up. But I mean, but what he's able to do in the fourth quarter late in games and was on his way to doing it again in this game, they're down 5 in overtime. Brunson single-handedly brings them back. He gets to the basket, the three-point play, the ability to hit the 2 foul shots when he could barely stand. Like, this guy does everything. And this is why it's part of it. Like, you can't expect him to do everything every night all year long, get you to the postseason, get you through to an Eastern Conference Finals. Like, he's got to have some help at the end of these games. And Hart wasn't there to help him at the end of regulation. Bridges wasn't there to help him at all game long. Karl-Anthony Towns just coming back. I understand he's dealing with something. I understand he was at a funeral. I understand life happens and they're humans and we can't just expect them to not be affected by outside situations and whatever's going on in their life. But like, I'll give him last night, just coming back, 12 points. He did have 14 rebounds, 3 of 13 from the floor, but they're going to need these guys to step up. But right now, this Brunson injury is a devastating injury off an awful night, arguably the worst loss of the year when you roll everything together. When you talk about how they were up 13, when you talk about they only scored 15, their lowest point total other than a game in Brooklyn where they, you know, kind of probably coasted and won easily. They haven't scored 15 or less in a fourth quarter all year long practically other than one other game. They go ice cold, blow a lead, and then lose their captain. Like, that is as brutal. Give up so many open three-point looks down the stretch of that game to allow this thing to be tied in the first place. They can't get off a shot to end regulation, and then they lose their heart and soul in the overtime. This is as brutal. I'm not even going to say a loss. Just as brutal a night for the Knicks as you could possibly have. With an opportunity. It's also, it came at the cost of what the positive could have been. You roll into L.A., and you take care of the scorching hot Los Angeles Lakers with Luka and LeBron playing as well as he's played in the last two or three years. Like, that's a statement. It doesn't mean, hey, look at this, they could beat the Celtics. Hey, look at this, they could beat the Cavs. Hey, we're back in the Eastern Conference Finals, back on the table. But a statement of, hey, we could beat good teams. We could hang with the hottest team. We could take their punches and dole them back. Like, that's where they were, and it fell apart. Ray in Brooklyn. What's up, Ray?
C-Mac, my guy. I don't even know where to start. I'm mostly positive on this game because the Knicks were the better team for most of the game. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I hate to go this route. The whistle was definitely a Lakers whistle. It's a Luka's whistle. Luka's disgusting body language, crying like a you-know-what.
Yeah, he complains on, we know that. He complains on every play. Well, let's be honest.
It's beyond
Brunson complains on every play, too.
Yeah, but not like Luka, and he doesn't display that kind of body language, you know, with his feet shoulders ruffled. And Brunson has an actual case, C-Mac. Luka, you can't breathe on the guy. Brunson is getting beat up, and he's not getting the call. Mm-hmm. And Luka's, he's top two. Him and Embiid are the most disgusting, despicable when it comes to body language and showing up the refs, and nobody can even debate that. But anyway, yeah, they had the whistle. The Knicks were the best team for the better part of the team. It took the whistle. It took the basketball gods to take the best player on the floor due to injury for us to lose this game on the road. And so that's the positive. I'm not discouraged. I'm not disheartened. The negative is, and I want to be fair because it's low-hanging fruit, the Mikal Bridges thing. I understand. I'm disappointed in him too. However, statistically, he's been better than OG all year. OG has been terrible since November. Mm-hmm. Three games. I'm not forgiving him just for these past three games.
I
appreciate these past three games. But also, Karl-Anthony Towns, and you alluded to this, the last time we spoke too, he has been disappearing in big games. That is a huge concern. I don't want to hear these idiots on TNT saying it's Tim's fault. He has to call plays. He clearly called plays for him, and he's pulling Joel Embiid playoff and Julius Randle stuff where it's like, oh, but I couldn't get the ball. They got to get it to me. No, get the damn ball. When you need the ball, you go get it regardless of what, just like Brunson always manages to get it. So I just want to be fair because, well, like, you know, we all kill Mikal Bridges, but OG has been 80% not here this year. And now Karl-Anthony Towns, who I love, is not showing up in big games. And he looks scared, man. I just don't understand. You know, but all in all, if Jalen Brunson gets on the floor, he's the best player on the floor in just about any game. We'll have a shot against anybody. We just need him to get healthy. And hopefully the report by Haynes is true. And, you know, he'll just miss these next few games. And we'll be the 3 seed. And like I said, nobody wants to face the Knicks in a close game with the biggest killer on the planet on the floor. I appreciate you, C-Mac.
Yeah, I got you, Ray. Thank you very much. I think you're giving them a pass on the game, though. Like, they were on the floor. Brunson was with them when they blew a 13-point lead. Brunson was there. Yeah, Brunson was there the other day when they had a lackluster second half against Golden State. Like, I'm not trying to put it on Brunson, but to say, oh, it took the whistle, oh, it took Brunson leaving, oh, it took this, oh, it took all these things working against the Knicks for them to lose this game. They blew the game. They blew the game. They had a 13-point lead and scored 15 points in the fourth quarter. They had a 13-point lead in the second half, and they blew it. And they gave up, you know, how many, what was it, like 3 out of 4 straight possessions that Reeves hits a three in the, hits an open three in the fourth quarter? They had that terrible, again, I didn't see it, I'm listening to it on the radio, but they had that offensive rebound where Karl Anthony Towns comes down with it, but it hits Hart in the back and it leads to another three-pointer. Like, they blew it. So let's not talk about all the things that worked against them. They worked against themselves with Jalen Brunson on the floor. This game wasn't just lost after 107-107 in overtime. This game was lost when they blew the lead in the fourth quarter and couldn't buy a bucket. And yeah, I'll give you Karl Anthony Towns, no doubt about it. He has not shown up in the biggest of games. That is true. I don't know if I would classify this as one of the biggest of games. I mean, it had an opportunity to make a statement. It's the Lakers. It's national television. I guess it kind of is. I don't view any West Coast team, a Western Conference team, as necessarily a big game for the New York Knicks. It's not on the same level for me. It's a primetime game. It's a culture game considering the two franchises. But Celtics, Cavs right now, the Bucks. Like, these are all big games in the Eastern Conference. But this game, yeah, he didn't play well. I'm going to give him a break on this one. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I'm getting soft in my old age. The guy just came back from a funeral. He had time off. He just came back. He didn't play particularly well, but... And then, yeah, listen, he's got to get the ball. And I didn't hear the TNT guys talking about Tibbs has got to run plays for him or whatever. Like, listen, it's not to say, well, Brunson finds the ball. Brunson's the point guard. I mean, you know, he doesn't have to work nearly as hard as Karl Anthony Towns to get the ball. He doesn't have to have anybody give it to him. He's the point guard. So I think that's a bit unfair, but sure. Make yourself known. Make yourself a presence. And sometimes in these big games, certainly the last two against Boston, I know he ended up scoring 20-something points against Boston. He had a decent third quarter. He was nowhere to be found as the Celtics were kicking the crap out of him and building a 20-point lead in the first half. So I'm with you. I'm disappointed in Karl Anthony Towns, too. As much as I've praised him early on in the year, and I put him in the MVP discussion, he's a starter in the All-Star game, he's had a very good year. He's disappeared sometimes in big games. And really, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, he has not played as well as he did prior to that. But this game wasn't just lost because of whistles. And this game wasn't just lost because, Jalen Brunson left with 107 at 107-107. This game was lost when the team couldn't hit a freaking shot and were giving up wide-open three-pointers in the fourth quarter and got outscored by 8 points in the fourth quarter. That's a lot of where this game was lost. And yeah, I'm with, and Tibbs, same thing. I'm with you. Like, it's a little bit right there. They're very seldom set plays. They're not very good out of timeouts. They're not very good off of side out of bounds plays. The end of the game, there's got to be not that you had time to, again, I'm in the car. I forget if it was off a timeout or just off a basket, but I know they had to go. I saw the replay. I know they had to go from the other side of half court. But you've got to understand. Like, there's got to be, that has to be a practiced, rehearsed understanding that in those situations, Brunson's going to get double teamed the second he crosses the half court line. You've got to have, I know it's 8 seconds, you got to have a better plan than just throw it to Hart, have him dribble until the horn sounds. Like, there's got to be a better way. Let's go to Jeff in Long Island. What's up, Jeff? Jeff, you there?
Yeah, what's up, Chris?
What's up, buddy?
Man, I'm just tired, bro. I'm tired of watching Karl Anthony Towns already. I saw this movie before with this guy last year. I was actually rooting for Minnesota last year. I saw him disappear in that seventh game. This dude hasn't scored 20 points like his last 6 games that he's played. And then you take a day off for your girlfriend. I mean, I got to go to work if somebody in my family dies. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean that's that. I mean, that's not. Yeah, I don't think that's fair, man.
I don't buy that excuse, man. Come on, we need you here. Listen, you're not married to that girl.
Jeff, I got to tell you, man, I don't get into people's personal life. He went to a funeral. He missed one game. I'm not going to kill him for it. I'm really not. And if you want to parlay that into the Carl Anthony Towns is soft thing, I know it's a different world, right? I was just watching 61 on HBO. I don't know why, but I was just watching that for a minute. And yeah, you know, Roger Maris is calling his wife. How was the birth, honey? Everything go okay? Like, yeah, they didn't even leave their teams to be with their kids. It's a different world. And I respect what you do. I don't know what it is you do. And maybe you couldn't get time off if someone in your family passed away and couldn't go to the funeral. But to just, you know, let's not, well, he's not even married to her, blah, blah, blah. Like, stop. Stop. He missed one game. He went to a funeral. He didn't go to Egypt. You know, he didn't go on vacation. Dennis Rodman went to Vegas for 3 days. Nobody questioned his toughness. Now he won championships. So there you go. 888-808-1019. But listen, forget all that. Carl Anthony Towns needs to show up in big games. I'm going to give him a break on this one. I am. Maybe I'm being soft. He just came back. He's dealing with something. Well, however you think he should react, he reacts as he reacts as a human being. I'm going to give him a break on this one. I'm not going to give him a break on the Celtics games. I'm not going to give him a break on the Cleveland game. I'm not going to give him a break in these big games moving forward. And I'm not going to give him a break moving forward now without Brunson for I don't know how long. Carl Anthony Towns is going to have to step up. And Mikal Bridges is going to have to step up too. And I know you say it's low-hanging fruit, or it was either you or Ray who said that. Like, I get it. He scores 6 points in this game. They traded 5 first-round picks for him. He's supposed to be he's supposed to be the third scorer. Josh Hart has 18. OG Anunoby has 20. Where's Mikal Bridges? Can he get to the foul line ever? I can't tell you. I've been saying this for 2 weeks. He's averaging 1 foul shot a game. It might be worse now. I can't even tell you the last time he took a foul shot. Well, I'm going to do that during the break. I'm going to say the last time Mikal Bridges was at the foul line. 888-808-1019. He needs to be better. And now this is an opportunity to take charge. I want to see him take charge. We've had, 2 games where he scored 40 and the offense ran through him for about 10 minutes in the second half. Maybe 2 games this year. Well, now he's going to have an opportunity on the West Coast and especially tomorrow night in a back-to-back. While everyone else was pouring their guts out, I know you played 43 minutes, only second to Hart and OG Anunoby. But you know what? You scored 6 points. Show up tonight against the Clippers and make a presence. My God. And listen, Carl Anthony Towns, too. I'm with you. 888-808-1019. Quick break. More of your Nick calls next. We'll get into some other things, but Jalen Brunson is down. Jalen Brunson was hobbled. Jalen Brunson walked off the floor. Jalen Brunson's going to miss some time for the New York Knicks. How long could determine what we feel about this team.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You?
The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes.
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
She is gone. It's a grand slam.
Swung on, hit in the air to right field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. His third home run of the game. A Judgian blast to right field.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To make my point about Mikal Bridges and getting to the foul line. Now, listen, he hasn't been scoring either. But just listen to the, because he's lost all confidence. He's playing terribly. It's an absolute disaster with Mikal Bridges right now. But, like, I just went over the last 11 games. I was going to do 10, but then I saw the Celtics blow out that first Celtics game on that Saturday night game. It was 11 games ago. So I went back the last 11 games to see how many times Mikal Bridges got to the foul line. Like, just got to the foul line. How many times has he driven to the basket, created contact, drawn a foul, and went to the foul line in the last 11 games? The answer is 4 times. In the last 11 games, Mikal Bridges has taken 4 foul shots. Now, maybe I'm mistaken, and maybe that's somewhat commonplace. But I can't imagine, as watching him play and seeing him shy away from physicality on defense and fighting through screens, particularly against the Boston Celtics, watch him do nothing but fade away jump shots and shoot threes and never attempt to create anything. He is completely shook. He has no confidence. And me and Fleegs were just talking about it. Like, if it wasn't for Brunson going down, it might be at the point to switch things up and see if you can get something from him as a spark on the second unit. Like, that's how bad it's gotten. But, if you go over it, 0 foul shots against the Lakers last night, 0 foul shots against the Warriors, 0 foul shots in the win against the Heat. Now, he was benched in the fourth quarter to give him, to cut him some slack. He was actually benched in the game. That's how bad he was. So the minutes were down. He didn't play much in the fourth quarter, but 0 against the Heat. He had 2 fouls. He had 2 foul shots against the Grizzlies in the win against Memphis, and he had 2 foul shots against the win against the 76ers in the win against Philadelphia. That's it. 0 against the Celtics in the blowout loss. 0 against the Cavs. 0 against the Bulls. 0 against the Hawks. 0 against the Pacers. And 0 against the Celtics. His last 11 games, he has got to the free throw line 4 times, never more than twice in a game. Never more than one time, one trip to the foul line. He has drawn 2 fouls, 2 shooting fouls in the last 11 games. It's unacceptable. It's just unacceptable for a Tibbs guy. Like, there is no desire, fight, nothing from him on the offensive side of the floor. Nothing. And we can complain about his defense all we want. And I know that was a talking point after the Celtics game and fighting through a screen. Offensively, he does nothing but maybe take an open shot. That's it. That's a crazy stat to me. And I don't know. I'd have to go around the league. I know he was averaging one per game. That's obviously less. His average has gone down on foul shots per game. He is averaging far less than one per game. He's averaging less than half per game. He is averaging less than 40% of a foul shot per game over his last 11 games. How is that possible? He has got, listen, this is an opportunity for him. And if I'm Tibbs, I tell him that. Like, we're going to need you to take over the game. I would challenge him against the Clippers tonight. Challenge him. Put the ball in his hands. Tell him, listen, tonight's your night, kid. And see what he does with it. Because right now, it's just an embarrassment. He's an embarrassment. Anthony in Poughkeepsie. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how you doing, my friend?
Good, how are you, buddy?
I'm all right. I get your point. But I just think you're making a bit much out of it. Regular season game. I mean, they were 3-point underdogs in the game. They weren't expected to win the game anyway. I understand your point, though.
Yeah, I mean, well, look, they're lucky. They're lucky to be in the game at all. I mean, they had a 13-point
lead. I mean, they were
lead.
Down 9 in the first quarter. They fought back, and then they were down 4, and they came back.
But
they're not a tough team. They got no bench.
Yeah, no, well, I guess, I mean, but so we should just be satisfied with any loss. It doesn't matter. They're not good enough to get to an Eastern Conference Finals or win a championship. So what's the point?
I don't think they are, honestly.
I know, so what's,
not
but what's the point?
They have. The point is they're not as good as we think they are.
No,
you're hitting it right on the head, but I'm surprised they're even in that game.
Yeah, I don't know about that. They're the third best team in the East. They're a top five record in the NBA. They've got two superstars who started the All-Star game. Like, the idea they can't hang with the Lakers or can't hang. Yeah, they're 2-point underdogs on the road in LA on the West Coast to a team that's won 8 games in a row, and they're 2-point underdogs. What does that tell you? 90% of the league is a 7-8-point underdog. No, it is what it is. They can't win a championship anyway. No. This team's too good for that. They've earned too much of my respect for that kind of take. I'm not going to sit back and just say, hey, well, what'd you expect? The Lakers are really good. It's not that big a loss. First of all, it ends with watching the best player on the team, the best clutch player in the sport, their captain and most valuable player, hobbling, walking off the court. That's how the game ends. Not going to be all that happy about it. I'm not going to say, hey, well, they were in it. Hey, they were down 8 points early on. They fought back. They were down 5 points in overtime. They came back to tie it before the Brunson injury. No, thank you. We're not taking moral victories for the third best team in the Eastern Conference. I'm not. And if you want to say, hey, look, it's a West Coast game. You know they're going to be the 3 seed. It's just a matter of whether they can beat the Celtics and the Cavs. It's not that, you know, the Celtics are hot. Is it really that bad a loss? I mean, yeah, I can understand that point of it, but not when you're up 13 points. Not when you can't hit a shot in the fourth quarter. And certainly not when Jalen Brunson hobbles off the court. And not when someone you traded, you know, let's be honest, in this game in particular. And again, I'm going to be a little bit more lenient than some of the calls have been so far with Carl Anthony Towns. I mean, to pull the everyday man or everyday person can't, you know, take off for a funeral. Why is he taking? I mean, come on. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's been dealing with something. He came back today. That's it. Now, that's it. Today's the day he gets the benefit of the doubt. Not for games before, not for any games coming up. But yesterday, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But you saw two players who were brought here to change this team. Two players who were brought here to take them to the next level. And Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges. And both of them, in these big games, have been absolute duds. And right now it feels like that they haven't elevated them at all. That we have the same expectations for this team that we had of last year's team. That, hey, they're good. Hopefully they can get to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they're going to have a really tough time against the Boston Celtics. Now, the Cleveland Cavaliers have upgraded themselves and have become, you know, the best team, or at least the best record in the East. So they've added to that, but pretty much it's the same thing as last year. They brought in these two pieces to take them to the next level, and they're at the same level. Pretty damn good team. Should be a top 3-4 seed. Have a chance to do something special, but ultimately, I don't know if they're good enough to beat the top echelon of the Eastern Conference. Like that, they're in the exact same spot, and they traded away, you know, beloved players for Karl Anthony Towns, and they traded away 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. He can't get to the foul line. The Knicks have traded away more first-round picks than Mikal Bridges has taken foul shots in the last 11 games. He was more first-round picks went to Brooklyn than Mikal Bridges has taken foul shots in the last 11 games. How is that possible? How is that possible? He's got, I mean, both of them have to step it up, both of them. EZ and Hackensack, what's up, EZ?
Hey, man, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm all right. Very disappointed about the end of the game. You know, we had the game in hand. I mean, Bridges is definitely a bust, but we'll see what happens now in the Brunson absence. But you have to blame Brunson completely because, you know, Tibbs didn't call the play that said, hey, take it by yourself. Shoot an unwarranted 3 with 20 seconds left to go. Okay, that cost us the game.
Oh,
and
that's not fair.
Then, no, listen, and then to go coast to coast all by yourself, okay, you have a lot of talent around you, and you take it coast to coast, and you cost us now our best player for who knows how long.
Wait, you're blaming Brunson for this game. You're blaming Brunson.
I'm blaming Brunson for losing the game at the end because what is he, just calling himself audible to go run as fast as he can to the three-point line and take a shot with 20 seconds left at the end of the game where we're just about to steal it?
This guy, I cannot disagree with you more, EZ. I don't know how you watching this Knick team in that game and tell me Jalen Brunson was the problem. He has been the most clutch player in the NBA by a wide margin. He's been great in these moments. The Knicks have been 5-0 in overtime. The Knicks have won, I think they won 9 in a row in these close one possession and less than 5 minutes left in the game. He hits that 3-pointer. He took that exact same shot against the Grizzlies to help them win that game. And I don't think anybody complained about it. That's his shot. That's the team. That's who they are. And then you're mad that he got to the basket and had got to the foul line, which is what tied the game in overtime? Because he landed on someone's foot and twisted his ankle? We're blaming Brunson for it? Stop. This guy has been incredible at the end of games. Yeah. Did he rush down the and take a in-motion three-pointer and an in-rhythm three that he has taken a million times and hit? That's his shot. This is the NBA. Have you watched it? This is not the 90s Knicks. They're not going to run a set and play it so that, you know, Mason has a six-footer. You take three-pointers. He hits that three. It might change the dynamic of the game. And he's hit that shot a bunch. Do not blame Jalen Brunson. Come on. Right. Yeah, no, let's pass and give it to Hart, where he doesn't even recognize it's time to take a shot. He's got a lot of talent around him. Does he? Mikal Bridges scored 6 points. Karl Anthony Towns scored 12. What did he score? I just had the box open. I went back to the 12 points. 3 of 13 shooting. Mikal Bridges took 6 shots in this game. I mean, come on. That's his game in those moments. It's his game. And he led them back from down 5 points in overtime. Going to blame Jalen Brunson. Going coast to coast and you know, hurting himself. Are we serious? coast to coast, drew the foul, hit the two foul shots to tie the game. He landed on someone's foot. It's a bad break. But we're gonna blame the one guy who drags them to all these wins. He's hit that three-pointer a bunch over the last month of the season to win them games. That's his shot. It didn't go in. What, you want to run a set that gets Mikal Bridges an open three look? Not, I don't. That cost them the game. Like, they would score in that possession anyway. Luka did the exact same thing, right? After he hit the fadeaway jumper, and then he hits the three-pointer, the next possession down after, I believe it was the same possession. Brunson misses the three. They come right down, and what is, you know, Luka does the exact same thing. It takes a long-distance three that goes off the back of the rim and goes straight in the air, and OG Anunoby gets the rebound. That, I mean, that's the game. And that's what people complain about, too many threes. And I mentioned this before only because I find it funny, because the game is dramatically different. And I do like to watch the Jordan doc just because I don't know what it, like, whenever I'm bored and have nothing really to watch and I don't have time to put on something new, or I just have like 20 minutes or something, I'll end up watching parts of that documentary just because it reminds me of my childhood. I don't know why, and I like watching it. Even though I know it's a complete, you know, Jordan love fest and unfair and probably inaccurate in many ways. But I get a kick out of watching the final scores. Like, they're playing all these playoff games and they cut to like the end and they show you the final score. The final score is like 88-86 Bulls. I'm like, 88 points. That's the first half, Knicks Golden State. It's a completely different league. So yeah, that three goes up, man. All right, this is not new. This started how many years ago with the Phoenix Suns, man. Shots. As many shots as you can get. As many possessions as you can have. This is not a new thing in the NBA. And take threes. That's a good shot. That's his shot. I'm not going to get on Brunson at all. Brunson scored 39 points and dragged them back in this game. So yeah, those back-to-back calls kind of annoy me. I'll be honest with you. Like, we shouldn't be upset because, hey, they're not good enough anyway. And Brunson blew the game. frustrating night for Knicks fans. And I'm not sure we know how to react to it. And listen, we're just waiting for word for Jalen Brunson, who's a tough son of a gun, and the way he handled it scared me. Like, he didn't even attempt. He didn't even move. He hit that last foul shot and didn't leave to take a step. He just stood there and he was like pointing to his teammates, like, foul him, please, foul him, please. I gotta get off. They didn't want to waste the timeout. Foul him, please, because I gotta get off the floor. It's a bad sign. And then you saw the replay and his ankle goes completely perpendicular of his leg. I mean, he's gonna be gone a while. Even if it is just an ankle sprain, it's a severe ankle sprain. So we'll see. And in the meantime, we'll see who steps up for the Knicks. 888-808-1019. Talking Jalen Brunson, talking New York Knicks. There's a lot to get to, obviously, with the two baseball teams. Every day we get closer and closer to Aaron Rodgers being a New York Giant. On the other side, we'll spin the wheel of quarterbacks to see who's going to play quarterback for the New York Jets, see what the options are, as they've spurned the great Aaron Rodgers. As the Giants are getting ready to welcome him, the Jets have thrown him away and cast him aside, and we'll look through all the different options that they have on a daily basis at 3 o'clock. So that's coming up. More of your Knick calls, Yankees injury news. Juan Soto blew a ball in right field, and every Yankee fan relished in it. You losers.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.